Cornucopia Radio presents.
Time, Sam.
1 minute, Mr. Battersby.
A pigeon race, as every fancier knows, begins with a basket. But with 100 different finish lines, each one a backyard loft, when does a pigeon race end? In 1913, folks at the West End Flying Club had better things to spend their wages on than fancy timing clocks.
10 seconds, Mr. Battersby.
I'm Charlie Hudson. 11 years a lamplighter.
Let him fly, lad.
But a fancier since the day I was bloody born.
The King of Rome, written by Anthony Atkin and Alison Glossop.
Now, it's all well and good your bird being first back to his loft, but that won't win you the race. Oh no, not in the West End of Derby. The pub is our finish line. First bird to prop up the bar takes the pot. Which is why you find me belting out for leather down Bridge Street on a Sunday morning clutching a pigeon at arm's length. In case you wondered, lad.
Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Mrs. Emsworth. Can't stop. Hands full and all that.
My dad was a fancier. Taught me a thing or two and all. Know your shortcuts, son. And he won that. Mrs. Bailey, number 23, always leaves her doors wide open on a Sunday. Gets rid of the smell of her burnt toast.
Morning, Jack.
Hey up, lad.
And the bins!
Oh, bloody hell.
Never mind, son.
Another thing you'll find about fancying, it runs in families. Not always as you'd expect, neither. But they all lend support in their own way. Oh, aye.
Mam says you run like Mrs. Emsworth.
Is that right?
I'm only saying what Mam says. One leg's late for tram, others having a lie in. That's what she says.
Never mind all that. What's your game? Out here on a Sunday morning. What happened to Sunday school?
Half day closing, Dad.
You'll get half day bloody closing.
You'd best get his gates on, you lad. Mr. Oldfoot's at the top of Ridge Street with his bird, and he's got a far better pair of pins in him than you.
You cheeky little bugger.
Let's see him moving, Dad. Come on, chop chop.
You wait till I see your mother.
Oh, aye. And Mam says, don't be late for dinner.
Stanley, if I want a messenger, I'll use a bloody pigeon.
Stand back, here he comes.
First home?
First bird home, Charlie. In you get, lad. There's a pint up bar with your name on it.
Aye?
As soon as you collect your winnings and pay for it, bugger, off you trot.
This is it, is it? This is the pot.
It's all you're getting, lad. Times are hard, in case you haven't noticed. Folks are giving up fancying. When you don't have the tuppence to lay out for a Sunday race, it's time to pack it in.
2 shillings?
You think back. When was the last time that bird of yours didn't come in first, eh? If folk need a reason to quit, there it is. Lost bloody cause. We haven't all got your feathered fingers, Charlie Hudson. Next time you might give the rest of us a chance and leave that bird of yours in the backyard.
It'll go towards some better feed, I suppose, before the missus gets wind of it. That lass can smell a farthing and have it spent before it touches the lining of my pocket. Breeding debt. That's where the money is. A guinea a bird they can make for pedigree stock.
Not with short distance birds they can't. You've a cracker there, I'll give you that. But you're racing him off the common.
We've raced him out of Newcastle, haven't we?
Well, Gake said it's hardly Paris, is it? No, they speak the same language. To make money in this game, you need to be breeding long distance. And, Charlie, have a champion bird to breed from.
One good win, Ted. That's all it takes.
I dare say it does. But what chance have we to be entering a champion's race, eh? Where would the likes of us get the money to go sending baskets about on steamliners? Let it go, lad. Long distance is a gentleman's sport. And if you're a gentleman, Charlie Hudson, I'm the Queen of Bloody Sheba.
I heard about your win. What did he earn you today?
Oh, don't ask, lass. Barely enough to cover the feed.
Mam won't be pleased about that.
Aye, well, not a word, all right? What your mam don't know won't hurt her. Pop it on the shelf for me, would you, Elsie?
New Zealand maples? Can we afford to be feeding them New Zealand maples?
The same goes for them and all. Not a word. Though I can't see why I should be hiding away a bit of feed for my best bird. Not when he's as good as earned it himself. Come here, let's have a look at you. Oh, by heck, you're a handsome fella, aren't you? Eh? You came through for me today, didn't you, lad? Good and proper.
I've heard you. Passing time of day with him when you think no one's about. You can get carted away for less than that.
You'll not begrudge me a favour, lass.
Give him here. You'll be getting man worried. I'll finish off in here. You best go show your face. Go call over man for a change. Just don't go ruffling any feathers.
Are you shrinking, Charlie Hudson? There's more hem than trouser down here. I can't take up much more than I have. Well, stand up straight. You're about like a shepherd's crook.
Oh, of course I'm shrinking. You'd find yourself losing an inch off your legs if you were up and down a ladder all night.
And stop fidgeting.
Oh, stop fidgeting, she says. It itches, lass. The trousers are worse than the jacket. I don't know why you're taking them up. When was the last time I wore a suit?
You're worse than us, Stanley. Stand still.
I caught that lad down the back alley behind Bridge Street this morning. Why wasn't he at Sunday school?
It's his boots, Charlie. Surely you've noticed. There's barely a soul on them. The cinders on the school path cut his feet to red ribbons. Turn around. Things are tight, I know that much. Do you think Mr. Deakin might have a street or two to build up your round?
Full stride I was when I clapped eyes on him. Could have cost us the race, could that?
Are you listening to me?
Aye, lass.
Mrs. Mellor was given a hardship card from the Board of Guardians, you know. 3 provisions she's getting now, and butcher's meat. Something to think about, don't you think? A helping hand, now we're in need of it.
We'll not be presenting Cyril Cartwright with a hardship card, thank you very much. By heck, lass, my dad had meat from him for 30 years. We'd have him turning in his grave. We'll be fine. I'm making a bob or two rearing young'uns from my birds. And I found the one to breed from. This one's special. I've been trying him out on longer runs, like building
Can't
up
you see beyond the roof of that damn pigeon loft? You do realise how much these birds are costing us? I'm sorry, but if things carry on as they are, they'll have to go.
No, Elizabeth.
Charlie!
No, I said. My birds aren't going anywhere. Give me some time. I promise, lass. I'll have things sorted before you know it.
Round 13, West End. Now, here, look, you see. Here's what I'm getting at, Hudson. 7 roads set to benefit from the modernisation of electric lighting, and all by December of this year.
7 roads? From my round? All to lose gas lamps.
My hands are tied, I'm afraid. Far from adding to your round. Well, streets will have to be taken away.
Oh, God.
Hudson?
Elizabeth, Mr. Deakin. The missus. She's breathing fire as it is over the expense of my birds.
Your birds? You're a fellow fancier, I take it.
You race, Mr. Deakin.
I've won out of Rome in a month or so. The Prince of Charleroi. You might have heard of him. Champion's race. Not for the faint-hearted, lad. 1,000 miles, basket to Duffcote. No bird has flown further. And 10 sovereigns to the winning breeder.
10 bloody pounds? Excuse my French. All the saints in heaven. For a win. 10 pounds for one bloody win.
Aye, something to think about, eh? Do you breed your birds to sell, Hudson?
Yes, I sell my birds.
Then I might be able to help you out yet, old chap. I know a man, Fanshawe, not a great breeder, but always on the lookout for promising birds. Let me see what I can do.
You've been keeping birds a while then, Mr. Fanshawe. You're a keen fancier?
I race, Hudson. Fancying is a term at odds with a professional approach, one dedicated to the business of breeding champions. These birds are undernourished.
No, they're not.
I beg your pardon?
Look here. Look at his breast. There's no fat on it. Not an ounce of fat. It's all lean muscle. There's not a bird in Dad's loft fed a grey more than it needs.
Mr. Deakin, he mentioned a champion's race out of Rome. Do you have a bird entered, Mr. Fanshawe?
I am on the board of administrators, and we feed, young lady, to facilitate muscle growth. An underfed bird is an underdeveloped bird.
The blue cock there, the one that Elsie's holding. Hold him up, Elsie, so that Mr. Fanshawe can see him. He's my best bird, Mr. Fanshawe. I'd like to try him at long distance. A big race, like. And when Mr. Deakin mentioned Rome...
Out of the question.
Pampering.
I'm sorry? Pampering?
It's all about the last handful of grain thrown down. As soon as they get picky over their seeds, you stop feeding. Dad watches for that. It's why his birds are the best. But you'd know that, Mr. Fanshawe, a man like yourself, on the board of administrators. Not like some dad's sold to, making out his birds are this and that, but knowing full well that they're the best they've set eyes on.
These three, the Antwerp over there, 4 shillings.
4 shillings? Well, I have a basket about somewhere, if you've a minute.
5 shillings, and you're still getting a good price.
I'll give you 4 and 6, not a penny more.
5 shillings is what they're selling for. They're worth 7, and I think you know it.
Here, take it. I'll have them collected in the morning.
But if the bird were good enough, Mr. Fanshawe, a fitting bird, worthy of...
I'll make myself plain. Long distance, it's not for the likes of you. You'd get a damned rough reception, do you understand?
No, not really.
Stick to what you know, Hudson. Know your damned place.
Order, order.
Shh. Charlie, no disrespect to your proposal, but I think we all agree. We're a short distance club. Anything beyond a county or two and we're lumbered.
I get that, Cyril. I know that. But I'm not asking any of us to put money into a race a bird's not likely to win. There's other ways.
Charlie's idea is that we pool the money.
6 birds is all we need. 6 birds from the club that come on strong at the end of a race. We chip in the entry fees and one basket gets shipped out. That way, we all get a chance to race. It might not be your own bird flying, but we all have a stake. A chance to make money from our best birds. Where there's proper money to be made. Long distance.
We're pitmen, Charlie Hudson, in case you haven't noticed. Lamplighters, working men, running a Sunday club from an upstairs room above the Ram's
Head.
At the dirty end of town, your distance races only come to when they're short of a kitchen's maid.
No one's chained you to your pit boots, Sam. There's better things out there for any of us, if we care to look hard enough.
It's a fair point, though, Charlie. Aren't we getting a bit above ourselves?
My birds don't seem to care whether I'm a gentleman or not. So perhaps we shouldn't be troubling ourselves over it neither. Fair reward. That's all I'm asking. For all the graft we've put in. Every one of us.
Timing clocks, lad.
We only need the one. We run the birds down to the post office and Mrs. Bramley sends the ring numbers off by telegram.
There's a race out of Paris, Mr. Chairman, in a week or so. 6 of our most promising birds racing alongside the best.
Oh, including your own, I've no doubt.
Give the lad a chance, Sam.
If I might be allowed to have a word. I, for one, am partial to what you are proposing. At first hearing. Let's not go jumping into deep water, though. You've by far the best bird amongst us. We all, Sam Fletcher, know that. I have no objection to you testing the water for yourself, and those that wish to should invest as they see fit. But that is where it should stand, for the moment.
I'm on my own. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Battersby?
One bird is what we shall send, your own. You have my support, and the club's support, and I, for one, will be contributing a bob or two to the race wager and conveyance fee. In the hope, Mr. Hudson, that your bird is as good as your confidence implies.
And I think you're both getting too big for your bloody boots. And when you're both brought back down to earth, face is redder than a tan backside. Don't expect me to be your beer and bloody sympathy.
What time is it? He's late. He's never late. I shouldn't have sent him all that way. I should not have sent him all that way.
Stop pacing, Dad.
I can't see him yet, but I reckon he knows where his dinner is.
Charlie Hudson, you daft Abeth. My best bird. My best bloody bird. It's not a place I'd visit myself. Why in God's name would I send my best bird to France? God in heavens, the poor bugger. What time is it now?
Get yourself inside. Sit down, make yourself a cup of tea. You're driving us up the bloody wall.
What if he comes and I'm away?
We'll give you a shout if he does. Now calm yourself down before you do yourself a mischief.
He's here. Dad is here.
It's about bloody time. Trap him, lass.
Oh, I've got him. I've got him, Dad.
You've got him. Right. Give him here. You lazy little booker. Where the bloody hell have you been? Never mind you looking at me like that. Out less than first place, lad. And there'll be a big surprise for you come Sunday dinner. Oh, yes. That perked you up, didn't it? That perked you up, all right. Pigeon pie. How do you like the sound of that, eh? Sodding pigeon pie. Anything less than first place from you. And I tell you now, you are for it. Good and proper. Stuffed in a short crust pie. Our suppers on a bed of bloody bisto. You see if I don't.
Hey up, lad.
Here he comes. Open the doors.
Tag him, Sam.
11:22.
Mrs. Bramley, dispatch the telegram.
Bayek, all this palaver over a sea pigeon.
Ah, he's away. Let him go. Let him make his own way back to the loft.
You don't think he's won, then?
Won? Wings of bloody lead. You should have listened while you had the chance. And by the look of the chairman's face, you two will have some answering to do at the next meeting. No small amount of money invested in that little fiasco.
I'll see you later.
Hey, where are you off to?
I need a pint.
Hold up, I'll come with you. Ted? Well, look who's decided to show his face. Eighth. You let me down, lad. You let me down good and proper. Come here. Let's get you into the loft. Let me look at you. You're not right, are you, lad? You're not right at all. Ted, can I come in?
Looks to me like you're in anyway.
Aye. I've brought my bird, like.
I can see that.
Cup of tea'd be nice.
You know where to find the teapot?
Oh, come on, Ted. I've asked the club not talking to me, not you and all.
Not me? I've a right to be cheesed off with you, my lad. My name's been dragged through the mud right alongside yours, in case you haven't noticed. Surprised bloody fool I look now.
I know you're mad. And I dare say I deserve it. But I need you to take a look at my bird.
What are you bringing him to me for? My fancying days are long gone.
Well, what you don't know about birds, Ted. You're the only one I trust with mine. You know that.
What's wrong with him?
He's not well.
Well, I gathered that cloth he is. What's wrong with him? Pass him over.
he's still my favourite, no matter what the others think of him. I'm fond of this one, Ted.
You don't say. He's not exactly lively, are you, lad? Not lively at all. And his eyes are pale. Looks to me like a case for the old brewer's yeast. Your bird's anemic.
Anemic? I've been feeding him well enough, far better than I can afford.
I don't doubt he's well fed. I know better than your missus how much you're spending. There's not always a reason. An infection? Who knows?
So, he'll be all right?
He'll be right as rain. Just keep an eye on him. You brought him over straight away. That's the main thing.
Ah, well, not straight away. Not with the mood you were in. He was off on the day he came home from the race. I thought it was odd when he didn't take himself to the loft to eat. Just sat there on the privy door, looking sorry for himself.
You're telling me this bird flew over the English Channel and halfway up the country, sick as he is, and came in eighth?
Where are you going?
Where do you think I'm bloody going?
No, Ted. You're not going to the club on my account. No, they've had their chance. They'll not be changing their minds until this bird comes through for me in a big race. Not until they've seen there's a bob or two to be earned. No, Ted. I'm on my own. A turn of luck. That's all I'm waiting on now. Hudson. And it was hand-delivered. In person.
He pulled up in a fancy motor car, right outside the front door. Well, are you going to open it?
But what would bring Mr. Deacon out to see me? Delivering handwritten notes, of all things.
Maybe he's added more streets to your round. You did say your meeting with him went well. Something good might come of it, you said.
I suppose I did.
Will you open the letter, Charlie? I'm dancing a jig here. Open it up.
I don't believe it. Would you look at that? God bless you, Mr. Deacon.
Well, are you going to tell me or not? Tell me that's not an entry form you're holding.
It's only the bloody champion's race.
A pigeon race.
A pigeon race, she says. The pigeon race, lass. And a receipt of payment. Oh, Mr. Deakin's only gone and paid out of his own bloody pocket.
And this is why I've been biting my nails all morning, watching the door, waiting for you to finish your round. This is the good news you set me up for with you. Something good might come of it.
Aye, lass.
Have I got fool written across my forehead? Oh, just when I thought you might have had some sense knocked into you. Half the club hasn't spoken to you since you lost them the wages. Does that not tell you anything? All over that bloody bird.
Not all of them. They're not all against it. Ted Jarvis has come round. He's thinking the roan race mightn't be such a bad idea after all.
Well, if Ted Jarvis is so keen, Ted Jarvis can bloody well pay for it himself.
It's paid for, ain't it? What do you think this is?
Paid for, is it? That's every penny you've got to find. Go on.
Well, I'd have to sign the bird over in London, I suppose. So there's the train fare. But I've sold a few birds lately. I've a bob or two already saved.
Oh, I bet you have. When we've barely a penny in the house. It'll take more than selling a handful of birds to get a pigeon basket from Derby all the way across to Italy. Oh, we can't afford it, Charlie.
Well, I'm taking him anyway.
Oh!
Elizabeth, you know how hard I've worked for this. Give me a chance, lass. I promise you, Stanley'll get his boots. I'll make sure of it. And there'll be more food on the table than we can hope to eat. I'm going, lass. I'm racing him anyway. But it'd make all the difference if I had my family behind me. If you were behind me.
Charlie Hudson, you are going to drive us up to the workhouse steps. What in God's name am I going to do with you? Look, if you can find the money from somewhere, God only knows where, you can enter your race. But, and I mean this, Charlie, if that bird of yours doesn't make it home, there'll be no more going on about breeding and racing. If that bird doesn't come back, then it's time to clear out the yard. They'll have to go. Do you understand?
So, I can race him.
Didn't I just say so?
Thank you, lass.
Now where are you going?
Where's my suit?
Your suit? No! No, Charlie, no, no! Not your suit! Not your suit!
Let me look at you. Well, if they don't know you're a lamplighter, they'll know soon enough.
They can take me as I am.
It's a fancy London hotel you're dropping your bird off at this time. You'd have at least looked the part in your suit.
I'll have it out of the pawn shop before you know it.
Along with Grandad's pocket watch. And a few other things besides. Oh, that's you, Dad. On you get. Don't forget your basket. And listen, don't take any nonsense. None of your forelock pulling. Not if it's the king himself is signing your bird in. Be proud of yourself, Dad. There's no shame in being a working man.
I have so much pride in you, lass. There's barely a drop left for myself. There's no mistaking this for the Ramset. Come on, Charlie. No point putting it off. I'm here to book in my bird.
We do have a policy of separating our domestic fowl from our paying guests.
What?
You'll find the race organisers towards the rear of the hotel.
Excuse me. May I have the keys to room 108?
Certainly, sir. Is your room to your satisfaction?
Oh, I'm sorry. How would I get there? Which way would I...
Hudson? Hudson? What the devil are you doing here?
Perhaps we should start with an introduction. Henry. Mine is the unenviable task of overseeing the race particulars at the British end. Fanshawe, my assistant, I believe you've already met.
Charlie. Charlie Hudson.
If I may, Mr. Henbury, this man is a lamplighter, sir. A small number of wins at short distance, a club trophy along the way, no doubt, the problem here being one of experience. You see, Hudson, we maintain a strict entrance policy at long distance, particularly at prestigious events. That way there's no potential for embarrassment.
It's all paid for, Mr. Fanshawe. It's all here, the receipt, if you'd like
to
see.
The lure is understandable. A win at this level could keep a working man in cheap ale over winter. But it's a costly business, Hudson. Consider the race wager. No tuppence-in-the-pot winner-takes-all. We deal in guineas. In sums beyond the means of a corporation lamplighter.
I have the money. Oh, excuse me.
Heaven preserve us. Payment is strictly by cheque, Hudson.
Is my money not good enough for you, Mr. Fanshawe? Or is it me, Charlie Hudson, that doesn't measure up to your grand expectations?
Mr. Hudson.
This from a man on his knees picking coins from the floorboards.
Gentlemen, please.
Do you know, each time I've met you, you've done nothing but preach your opinions, most of them unpleasant. And none of it with any manners.
Now listen here.
9 years I've been racing my birds. 9 years I'd graft. My small number of wins are over 100. Hard earned. 30 of them from this one here. This, Mr. Fanshawe, is a champion. I am proud of this bird. I'm proud of the 9 years that went into breeding him and caring for him every day and making sure every little thing in his world was just right. All to breed a bird fit to race alongside the best. And if you count your birds amongst the best, Mr. Fanshawe, then you're nothing but a coward for denying me the right to do the same.
How dare you!
Sit down, Mr. Fanshawe. I think you've said quite enough.
I'm sorry for the fuss, Mr. Embry. But I won't see myself lose any more pride than I already have. I don't have the airs and graces of a gentleman. But I do know about breeding. I've a bird right here, more than ready to prove it. And if that's not enough, well then,
The loss is yours, and your race will be the weaker because of it. Thank you for your time, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry to have bothered you.
Un minuto alla partenza!
I've learned much in this life. Being fed from a silver spoon, knowing which way to pass the port. These things don't make a gentleman. Good manners make a gentleman. Good manners, and knowing what it is to be fair.
30 secondi!
Mr. Henry. Now, he was a gentleman.
Rilasciate I piccioni!
Stanley, stop fiddling and close the door.
It's my boots, ma'am. The cardboard's wet.
Will you get in and take those out? Look at the mess you're making. Why have you put cardboard in your boots?
Because I don't like my socks wet, Elsie. With the puddles and everything. See, how do you like it? All right?
Morning, Mrs. Hudson.
A pound of stewing meat, please, Cyril. Stanley, leave your boots alone. I don't need reminding.
There's no shame in it, ma'am. There's some in our class we have boots. Shoes neither. And I'm not lying. Billy Spencer has no socks. Just his mucky feet. Even I have socks.
That'll be 2 and 6, Mrs. Hudson.
2 and 6?
You're not the first to complain. Rent's up again, second time this year. I have to pass it on to the customer. I make little enough as it is. We're all in the same boat.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
Nobby Shanks has a 4 and a 5 and they're both left-footers. His dad nicks them from the cobbler's window.
Ma'am, are you short?
2 pence short.
Can we manage on 1/2 pound?
Not for a stew, we can't. I'm sorry, Cyril. I'll leave it for now, if you don't mind.
Not at all, Mrs. Hudson. Not at all.
Don't worry, ma'am. We've gone short before. A bit of stewing meat's not going to change anything.
Look at him, trying to mend those things. The lad's not one to complain, but he's every right to. There might not be any shame in it, but it doesn't mean we have to put up with it.
What else can we do?
Take Stanley home. I'll be back in an hour or so.
All of them.
Everyone. Brought down over the Alps. Not one spared. I'm sorry, Elsie, your bird's gone. The weather can play a cruel hand, lass, when it's that way out.
Are you sure?
The chairman showed me the telegram himself. He made a point of it, in fact. Along with a few choice words.
I think Dad's guessed as much, but it'll kill him to hear it.
Looking at the state, I'd say he's all but given up. Has he let his birds go?
He's not letting the birds go. They're just out while I scrub up. I've been trying to keep things ticking over.
Is Elizabeth about?
Don't tell, ma'am.
Lass.
No, Ted. You're not saying no to ma'am. That's for Dad to do in his own time.
Not a word. I'd better go and break the news to Charlie.
Go easy when you find him, won't you? His heart's already broken.
Dad, you'll never guess.
Charlie, your son's talking to you.
I heard you, son.
Dad, you'll never guess what I got. Brand new boots. I'm not lying. You can even see your face in them. I'm not lying.
Stanley, you're back. What's brought you home in a mood?
I told you. Look at them, Dad. Brand new. Brand new boots.
Am I missing something here? Would you mind telling me where they've magicked themselves up from?
The Board of Guardians.
The Board of Bloody Guardians? Elizabeth, what happens in this house is no business of anyone else's, let alone that bunch of interfering busybodies.
I thought you'd be pleased.
Pleased? Look at him. It's a fine thing to come home to. My son, dripping wet and stark bollock naked, stood there as bold as brass in a pair of bloody charity boots.
He's waited all day to show you.
Take them off, son.
But, Dad...
Take them off. I'll walk you down in the morning. They can have them back.
Oh, Charlie, please.
Buggy your boots.
Stanley. Now look what you've done. I hope you're happy.
Well, it's a hard lesson, but he'll do well to learn it.
I won't have any child of mine brought up wanting, not account of your bloody pride. Look around you. We've got no money. If we could afford boots, do you not think I'd be buying boots?
We don't accept charity. Not in this house. It's shameful.
Don't talk to me about shame. Not when all your money's going on birdseed and you've got a son with nothing on his feet. That's right, get back to your birds. You think more about those bloody pigeons than you do your own bairns. The only thing that's bringing shame on this family, Charlie Hudson, is you.
Let him fly, lad.
Charlie.
You're not in the pub, then, to see them home?
Not today. It didn't seem right. I'm heading down there now, if you fancy a pint. Say the word, lad. Whatever it takes.
No, Ted. They're gone. Arthur's down there. He gave me a good price.
Tore me up when I let mine go. Missus?
She had a thing or two to say, but it set me thinking. And she was right. There's things far more precious closer to home I should have been looking after. And a man shouldn't have what he can't afford to keep. That's plain enough. Funny how fancying runs in families, when you think about it. But it does its blind best to bugger them up the minute you look the other way.
You'll miss your bird, though, Charlie. Don't fret over it, lad. It'll pass.
A pigeon race begins, as every fancier knows, with a basket. But when does a pigeon race end? On the 29th of June, 1913, 1,200 birds were liberated from their baskets in Rome. The race of 1,000 miles. It was a feat of endurance to find the best of the best, followed by every fancier in the racing world. But it was a race with the cruelest of ends.
Dad!
As the birds made their way over the Alps, a storm swept in, and 1,000 birds were pulled from the sky and fell to their deaths. And the fancier's eyes turned elsewhere.
Dad!
Elsie?
But as Charles Henry Hudson will tell you, a race with 1,000 finish lines can have 1,000 different endings.
Do you have a bird out?
You've lost me, lass.
Arthur's been. They're gone. But before that, Dad, before you left the loft, were they all in?
I think so.
Think, Dad. Please think. Were there any birds out? Any at all?
No. They were all in the loft, I'm sure.
I think you better come home. There's something you should see.
Give him some room. Let him pass. Come through, Charlie.
Is it him, Dad? Is he home?
There's a day in a poor man's life when something as slight as a change in the wind can make him, or else ruin him. And this is how it was for me.
Is it him?
It was a sunny Tuesday afternoon when the pocket watch hanging by a grey woolen suit in the pawnbroker's window marked the hour. It was then that the wind stopped blowing and the birds stopped singing and the world stood still. Because when I looked up, there he was, a handsome blue cock with a bright silver neck that shone in the sunlight, perched without a care in the world on my blue slate roof. Come on, lad. My bird had come home, and I knew
Come on.
Everything was going to be all right. Welcome on, lad. He's made a name for himself, has that bird? I've had more offers than I can rightly count. They know now not to ask, like. He's not the sprightly thing he was, and when the day comes, I'll make sure he's not forgotten. For I had a place at the Derby Town Museum, with a little polished plaque of his own. Charlie Hudson's champion, it'll say. The King of Rome. Along with the money, and the Lord Mayor's due, and everything else that comes with the champion's race. There's always a title, and my bird earned his just as it should be. He's brought me in a fair penny as that one, with his yearns. Enough for me not to worry about hardship cards and the threat of the workhouse. Breeding. I said it from the start. Didn't I say it from the start? All I needed was the right bird. It was special, all right. Furthest a bird's flown by all accounts and come home safely. Thousands didn't. Or lost. But not mine. My bird came home.
In the West End in Derby, there lives a working man. He says I can't fly, but me pigeons can. And when I set them free, it's just like part of me gets lifted up on shining wings. Charlie Edson's pigeon loft was down the yard, a rented house in Brook Street where life was hard. But Charlie had a dream, and in 1913 Charlie bred a pigeon that made his dream come true.
You've been listening to The King of Rome, written by Anthony Atkin and Alison Glossop. It starred Wayne Russell as Charlie, Stephanie Lee as Elizabeth, Katie Richmond Ward as Elsie, Dylan Carrot as Stanley, Chris Bellamy as Ted, and Ian Carter as Mr. Fanshawe. It also featured the additional voices of Justin Scott, Mal Carrot, Sharon Brogdon, Graham Marshall, Sinead Rankin, Tim Rutherford, Rex Davies, Zaf Malik, Michelle Michaels, Duncan Miller, Francesco Bonalumi, Alex Davis, and James Cottle. It also featured a cover of the music track The King of Rome, written by David Sudbury and covered by Doug Unson and Sarah Matthews. It was produced and edited by Peter Beeston and Leanne Bacon, and the production assistant was Alex Davis. This work is released under a Creative Commons license. For more information and listings of other music used in this production, please visit our website at cornucopia-radio.co.uk.
Come on down, Your Majesty, knew you'd make it back to me. Come on down, you lovely one, you know you've made my dreams come true. In the West End of Derby there lives a working man. He says I can't fly, but me pigeons can. And when I set them free, it's just like part of me shining
way. Mam! God in heavens, whatever's the matter?
Boots, Mam! At the bottom of my bed! Brand